Hello and welcome everyone here to Essex Church, our home of Kensington Unitarians. A welcome to any visitors this morning, regular attenders and podcast listeners to this time that we share united in our commonality, regardless of differences in race, sexuality, gender, age or economic status. We are here because we are human and are seekers on this quest called life together. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Janine, and as well as being a member of this valuable congregation, I'm also part of the themed ministry team alongside Jane and our minister Sarah, who will be back next week. So let's start our hour with these words by Elizabeth Parrish. She says this: "Come ye into this house of worship. Come in and find peace and rest, inspiration and aspiration, fellowship and love. Come in and find light for your darkness, a friend's touch for your loneliness, and music for your soul. Come in and let your heart sing for all the blessings that are yours this day."
We light our chalice as we do every week, connecting us to Unitarian and Unitarian Universalist congregations across the world, with words by Deborah Falk. A chalice lit in our midst is the symbol of our liberal faith, a faith built on the foundation of freedom, reason and tolerance, a faith sustained by acts of kindness and justice, a faith that visions a world flourishing with equality for all her people, a faith that demands the living out of goodness, a faith that requires thoughtfulness, a faith of wholeness. This tiny flame is the symbol of the spark of all this within each of us.
Our story now is by Pedro Secretan, and it's about a boy who had a mirror which he thought was broken, but it wasn't actually broken at all. It just reflected back something that he wasn't expecting. So this is the story of the mirror with the malfunction. There was once a boy who was very rich and clever. He had practically everything a boy could ever want, so he was only interested in the most rare and curious of objects. And this happened to him in relation to a very old mirror, and he convinced his parents to buy it for him from a mysterious old man. When the mirror arrived home, the boy went to see his reflection in it. His face looked very sad indeed. He tried smiling and making funny faces, but his reflection continued with its sad expression. Surprised, the boy went off to buy sweets, and he came home as happy as could be to look in the mirror. But his image was still sad looking. He bought all kinds of toys and old junk, but forever looked sad in this mirror. Fed up, the boy stuck the mirror off into a corner. "Crikey! What a terrible mirror," he said. "It's the first time I've seen a mirror that didn't work properly." That same afternoon, he went into the street to to play and to buy a few toys. But on the way to the park, he saw a small child who was crying their heart out. The child was crying so much and looked so lonely that the rich boy went over to help and see what happened. The little child told him that they had lost their parents. "I'll help you look for them," said the rich boy. So together they set off in search of the parents. And as the little child wouldn't stop crying, the rich boy spent his money on buying sweets for them to cheer them up. And finally, after much walking, they found the child's parents, who were out themselves, very worried, looking for their own little one. The rich boy said goodbye and walked off towards the park, but seeing the time, he decided to turn around and head for home, without having been able to play, without toys, and even without having any money left. And at home, he went to his room and noticed a shining light in the corner, the same corner where he'd left the mirror. Seeing this, he went over to the mirror and realized that the light was coming from his own body, so radiant with happiness he had become. And so he understood the mystery of that mirror, the only mirror which could faithfully reflect the true joy of its owner. He realized it was true. He felt genuinely happy having helped that little child. And since then, each morning when he looked in that mirror and failed to see a special shine, he already knew what he had to do to bring it back. So that's the story of the mirror with a malfunction, which wasn't really a malfunction at all, as it reflected the happiness and joy that radiated from showing the kindness to another person. And the children are going off to their own program now. And we here will now settle and turn inwards for our time of prayer and reflection. For each of us, who or what we pray to may be different, but we do so with loving intent, compassionate hearts and minds. As we think of the things shared or not shared in our joys and concerns, the things which bring lightness and joy, and those things which bring sadness and turmoil, may we be held in the sanctity of wholeness, that both good and bad things happen, and both joy and sorrow are part of our experience of life. And for the sorrowful things in our lives, and the lives of our loved ones, in the news and media which report from places near and far, of those affected by violence, natural disasters, famines and disease, poverty and exploitation. Let us take a few moments now to send our loving thoughts and prayers to those people and places who need it most today. And in ways like this, may we help to bring comfort to others in sad times, as well as receive comfort when we need it. And in the good times, may we be a giver and receiver of joy, reminding ourselves and others of life's fun times and happiness. May it be so. Amen.
The following reading is from Braver, Wiser, a Unitarian Universalist online project which produces weekly reflections and prayers, written by a variety of contemporary religious leaders. Each one offers courage and compassion for life as it is. In this piece, contributor Becky Brooks writes about choosing to respond with kindness to the experience of having been burgled. Quite a challenge, I think. In the summer of 2002, my partners and I found the best apartment in the entire East Bay. It was on Harrison Street in Oakland, just a short jog uphill from Lake Merritt. We had the whole top floor of a triplex with garages at the street level. The living room facing the street was so big, we called it the ballroom. It had windows on all three sides. When it was hot, we could catch a breeze, jasmine scented. It didn't matter that the second bathroom rarely worked. We had laundry inside the apartment. It didn't matter that you had to unplug the refrigerator to use the microwave. We had an actual dining room with a built-in china cabinet. It didn't matter that the only way to open the garage door was by taking a running jump to hit the upper right corner. We had off-street parking. We were 25 and living the dream, all the freedom of young adulthood, right alongside the insecurity, financial anxiety, and underemployment that goes with it. So many blessed curses, and so many cursed blessings. And so it was when we woke one morning to find that someone had broken into the garage. We picked our way through the space, storage stuffed strewn about, ready to make a list of what was missing. It took us a while to figure out what they'd taken. The well-stocked toolbox was there, whole and intact. My bicycle was there, the only bicycle that never was stolen, in fact. Our car was untouched. At the end of the day, we looked at the list, two wool sweaters and a tent. Digging down deeper into one of the boxes, we discovered that the tent poles had been missed. They took two wool sweaters and half a tent. Someone was suffering a misfortune, but it wasn't us. There was really only one option. We cleaned up the mess, closed the garage, and laid the tent poles gently on the sidewalk. They were gone by nightfall. I can only hope they found their proper home. I will always remember that apartment with gratitude for its beauty, its contradictions, and all it taught me.
That idea of kindness, of showing and receiving kindness, continues now as we head into our time of shared silence and meditation. And I slightly adapted this order of this section when I was told by Harold the translation of the short piece that the choir are going to sing for us. And the translation is, "Soft blow the wind, gentle be the waves, and may all the elements be kind in their response." So the choir will lead us into our silence, and then after a few minutes of silence, I'll use the bell to bring that to an end. So feel free to get comfortable in any way you choose, maybe putting down the things that you don't need and having your feet on the floor. Feel welcome to soften your gaze or close your eyes, whatever helps you to feel comfortable. And allow yourself to relax as we hear the sentiment of the song. Soft blow the wind, gentle be the waves, and may all the elements be kind in their response. This service kicks off our theme this month of love and kindness, where we'll be looking at this topic from various angles and considering different ideas. And to start with, I chose kindness in relation to wellness to focus on. So here are some of the ideas that I came across about that. I first came across the link between kindness and wellness a few years ago when I was running a book club, and a participant recommended it as a book for us to read. The book was called Why Kindness is Good for You. The author of that book, Dr. David Hamilton, had spent 4 years working in the pharmaceutical industry, developing drugs for cardiovascular disease. He's now written several books, including The Five Side Effects of Kindness and other things. And he speaks around the world about how people can harness their mind and emotions to improve their health. In his books and talks and on his blog, he focuses on the health effects kindness has on us and how it does that. He says it's all down to the chemical oxytocin, which he refers to as a molecule of kindness, and is produced when we are genuinely kind. And oxytocin helps to heal the body in a variety of ways. Firstly, he says that it's a cardioprotective hormone, meaning that it's protective towards the cardiovascular system, protective towards our hearts. He describes this in more detail, saying that oxytocin stimulates a second chemical called nitric oxide, which dilates our arteries and results in lowering our blood pressure. Secondly, he says that oxytocin acts as both an antioxidant and anti-inflammatory throughout the cardiovascular system. So it acts against free radicals which harm the heart and the arteries, which in turn produces a reduction in cholesterol. So all these things that we've been told which contribute towards heart disease, this chemical can help with. So, in other words, kindness is good for our hearts. And there are other knock-on effects that he mentions, such as oxytocin speeding up the healing process for wounds, and also its effect on the appearance of aging due to reducing inflammation and free radicals, which stress increases. And when I read that, I was thinking about seeing politicians on television when they're kind of voted in and they take on the job. They look their age, and within a couple of years, they look as if they've aged about 10 or 15 years. And that's because of all the levels of stress related to the job. So I was thinking, you know, maybe if they practiced a bit more kindness, it would be good for their health. And it might also affect some of their policies, making them more kind and on the vulnerable members of society. So, you know, who knows? In one of David Hamilton's talks, he mentions something called the Rosetto effect. I don't know if any of you have heard of it. I hadn't myself. But it's a phenomenon where a close-knit community experiences a reduced rate of heart disease. The head of medicine at the University of Oklahoma, Dr. Stuart Wolf, first noticed this effect in 1961 in the town of Rosetto, Oklahoma. Pennsylvania. Talking with the local doctor there and going on to create a study, they noticed not only was there a low rate of heart disease, but also that in the earlier 5 years, Rosetto had nearly no heart attacks in the high risk group of men aged between 55 and 64 years old. And also that the death rate in men over 65 was 50% lower than the national average. As a community, though, they enjoyed a fat-rich diet and alcohol and other things, which would have, you know, you would have expected an increase in the risk of heart disease. But what the scientists found was the opposite. And Dr. Wolf attributed Rosettan's lower heart disease rate to lower stress levels. The community, Dr. Wolf said, was very cohesive. There was no keeping up with the Joneses, houses were closer together, and everyone lived more or less alike. Elders were revered and incorporated into community. Housewives were respected and fathers ran the family. However, as they continued to study over the next 50 years and observed the close-knit Italian community and structure becoming more Americanized, they found that instances of heart disease rose to the levels of other American communities. So how we live in community matters, not just for our emotional well-being, but for our physical well-being too. They say that many a true thing is said in jest, and as printed on the front of your order of service, Bob Hope, a past well-known American comedian, said this: "If you haven't any charity in your heart, you have the worst kind of heart trouble." And what scientists have been discovering for years suggests this. So acts of kindness, responding in kindness and experiencing kindness, impacts our whole being, mentally, emotionally, and physically, and maybe spiritually too. But this charity in the heart is not only about others. It's about ourselves too. And I don't know if you have this, but when it comes to being hard on oneself, I used to be the expert. If I made a mistake, I wouldn't let myself off the hook. Nothing I ever did was good enough. And when people offered me help, I'd often say no, thank you, because I felt it was my duty to struggle on. And whilst living in this way enabled me to kind of stretch myself and accomplish things, it was also incredibly stressful. Life can be tough and stressful enough all by itself at times, without, you know, with the loss of loved ones, struggling financially, loneliness, experiencing all kinds of difficulties, stresses and strains in everyday life. We don't need ourselves adding to it also. And thankfully, I've worked on it over the years, so I'm generally much kinder to myself. But I still sometimes, occasionally have to counteract it when it does come up. For example, like when I get writer's block, and I do a lot of writing. Apart from writing services, I write wedding scripts, I write for wedding magazines and blogs. And when I get writer's block, instead of forcing myself to sit in front of the computer, staring at the screen, berating myself, thinking, why haven't you written anything yet? I've now learned to do a little act of kindness. Maybe getting up and lighting a candle, or putting on some relaxing background music, or even moving around and stretching my body for 5 minutes or so. And that releases the oxytocin in me, reduces my physical tension that's built up and the stress. And as I relax, more often or not, I find that the words start to flow. So kindness to ourselves is really important, not just for our mental and emotional and physical wellness, but also in helping to respond kindly to other people. In the reading we heard earlier, which Michaela read, the author and her two partners experienced a burglary. But along with the probable feelings of shock and anger, in this instance, they were able to see the greater need of the one who'd committed the burglary and responded in kindness by leaving out the tent poles which the burglar had overlooked to go with the rest of the tent that they'd already stolen. So I'm going to finish off by drawing your attention to one of the ways we can develop self-kindness as well as develop it for others. And this practice, many of you, I'm sure, are already familiar with, and for others, it will be the first time hearing about it. This is the practice of loving kindness meditation. According to the Buddhist Center's main website, the original name for this practice is Metta Bhavana. Metta means love, in a non-romantic sense, a kind of friendliness or kindness, hence loving kindness. And bhavana means development or cultivation. And in this practice, after you get yourself into a meditative state, you start with saying a mantra of kindness, such as, may I be well, may I be safe and free from harm, may I be happy. And then you choose somebody close to you or a loved one to say the mantra for, inserting their name. For example, Sarah's not here today, so I'll use her as an example. May Sarah be well. May Sarah be safe and free from harm. May Sarah be happy. And then you go on to choose someone you're having difficulty with. I won't give an example here. And you insert their name. And so on and so forth, extending your awareness outwards until eventually you wish these things for all beings on the earth. May all beings be well. May all beings be safe and free from harm. May all beings be happy. So that's the basics of loving kindness meditation, and you're welcome to give it a try at home. And there are books and articles online if you want to find out more about it. It can be a really, really powerful meditation, and I know that we've done versions of it here before. So all in all, there are so many different ways that we can show and cultivate kindness and love for ourselves and others. So the next time you're passing a mirror, having treated yourself or others well, maybe like the boy in our story, you'll see a radiant glow coming from you. And maybe that glow will come from a glow of joy, or maybe simply it's the oxytocin. Glow well. Amen. As our time together starts to draw to a close and your attention begins to turn to the world outside, let us not leave what we have found here. Whether that be a calmness over a troubled heart, and comfort over an aching mind, a sense of companionship to ease one's loneliness, a glimmer of light pointing to your own deeper truth inside, or a connection to something bigger, something special or sacred to you. May you take what you have found here, and in the days and week ahead, may you have the courage, strength, and compassionate kindness to share it with others. May you go in peace, and blessed be. Amen.